From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of July 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. And a bit later in the program, Dan Zwicker will be here. We didn't get a chance to talk with him yesterday about the technical side of the marketplace. And given what's happened with the soybeans this week, I thought it might be important to go through that with him, so stay with us for that. We'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast, which has been driving what's happened in Chicago, with Eric Snodgrass from Agrible. And then in the second half hour of the program, if you can stick around, we'll have on with us live today Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, along with Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and Aaron Curtis of Midco from Bloomington, Illinois. And it happens all in the next hour right here on Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, futures finished with the corn up 3/4 at 3.35 in the September, December 3.41 and 3/4 a penny higher, the March up a penny and a quarter at 3.51 and a half, August beans down 26, September 26 and 3/4 lower, November beans at 9.88 and a quarter down 24 and a quarter, January 9.89 and a quarter down 23 and a half, the March down 22 and a quarter, May there down 21, and July beans down 20 and a half, settled 978 and a quarter. Bean oil down 85 cents. Bean meal 580 lower. Wheat futures finished the September in the soft red, up 7.5 cents at 425 and a quarter. Next year's July futures at 494 and 3/4, 9.5 higher for the soft red. The hard red September at 11.5 higher, 419 the settlement price. Live cattle futures up $2.45, feeders up 252.5, and lean hogs were 75 cents higher at $75.20. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Mike Zuzlo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting to take a look at the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd. My condolences to you and Clarin for the loss of your niece this week. I know you were caring for her these past few months.
Yeah, it's been a difficult time. Thank you so very much. Speaking of different, and this is a hard transition to make, but other difficult times. It's been a rough week in the marketplace, Mike, for corn a little bit, for soybeans a lot, but I want to start in a different place because wheat actually had a pretty good day or a week. I've not been here. Can you tell me more about what's happening in there in that marketplace?
You know, it's really all about Europe right now, Todd. The number one producer in the EU28, France, is looking at a crop that is now falling below 30 million tons for soft red production. And when you compare that to the past 5 or 6 years, 35 million is a bad crop, but private estimates are now below 30, and 41 million is what they did last year. And so we had a 9% rally just in the last 2 days of this week in the milling wheat in France, 10% rally overall for the week. And I think that just simply resurrected the whole wheat market because we kept getting stories about Russia coming out and lifting their export tax this fall because they're having a bumper crop. We've seen more talk of feed quality wheat hitting the world market. We continue to see out here west of me a hard red wheat basis that's anywhere from 85 to $1.05 under, and soft wheat producers are also witnessing the the weaker prices because of their good crop. So we ended up taking a market that had retested and gone below the 2007 low of 412 in lead month wheat to where we actually closed higher on the week. The wheat corn spread for Dece is now back to $1.09. That is extremely important and good news in terms of stabilizing the corn market from a standpoint of wheat not being a feed competitor to the corn, which is something the market's very much concerned about. It's a minor player compared to what they're thinking on yield for corn coming to the August report, but it's still a player.
May very well explain then why corn was able to hold above and some gains today, while soybeans were really a big losser, and they were under some serious pressure, not only today, but earlier in the week, too.
you lost some technicals in soybeans, and I think what you lost Thursday night was the GFS model map. It took all of the heat for next week out of its model map and looked almost identical to the European model, showing it's going to be hard to get above 85 degrees after next Wednesday for the rest of the 10-day models. And so then that got the trade thinking about the CVS models that they look at, the NSEP models that go out 30 and 60 days. Those are calling for cool and wet conditions in August as well. So I think the trade put two and two together and said, let's go back to where we started this rally in November beans of that 980, 985 breakout and just pull out all the weather premium in the beans like we did in the corn. And if it weren't for the dollar and the crude oil price action and the dollar breaking higher and making two-month highs and the crude oil making lows not seen since May and breaking through a 20-week moving average, which it hasn't broken through since the first of this year, I think that you would have enough negative pricing done at this point in time. Supply-demand-wise, crop-wise, I don't see the need for this market to go lower, but these outside markets and the deflationary bias that's returned since the Brexit vote has been a very big concern, and I think it will continue to be a concern of mine all the way into the election. So that's where you can't say it's not going to go lower because of supply-demand. You just got to look at those outside markets and, to me, say it, once we get to a low in the crude oil, then we can have a low in the soybeans, and then we can have a low in the rest of the commodity complex. And as I said, thank goodness for the wheat market. It wasn't a beauty this week, but sure did come back when we needed it.
So where do you think crude oil is headed then, if we're worried about that low now at $44 a barrel, $44.25 or something along those lines? How much lower there, and how much pressure will it put on?
The dollar is reflecting a swing objective that could be several percentage points higher. The Baker Hughes weekly rig count numbers went up, I believe, by 14 rigs, which was a big surprise to the trade. And some comments on the wires were along the lines of, we can't take this. We don't want rigs to come back online this early. So my assessment would be is you can't exclude the idea that $45 and when West Texas Intermediate crude couldn't become $40 in West Texas Intermediate crude if we don't keep drawing down weekly supplies by the Department of Energy. One thing we got going for us is ethanol production is very strong. The real-time break-evens are showing a 30-cent per gallon profit, and we are still drawing down crude on the weekly Department of Energy numbers because we've got great demand. So we're right on the edge, kind of a knife's edge with these outside markets.
Yeah, so we're coming back to a time frame, and producers will remember that. They probably feel a little glum in this same form, much like late last year through the winter months when we had really, really low commodity prices, a bit unexplained, but only if you didn't consider what was happening with crude oil, which was simply depressing the whole of all commodities, because if you figured everything was a protein or an energy, one of the two, this is where you end up.
Yeah, and you know, you hit a huge point. You've got five-year lows in live cattle right now. You had a pretty decent cattle on feed report that just came out, but you've got five-year lows in live cattle right now, Todd, with one of the worst heat situations in the Central Plains that we've had in many years, but you've got record highs in the equities markets. And that's, again, trying to draw the lines and trying to connect the dots of why are we going lower. The ag producer got hit hard this week from both the weather turning, the dollar turning, and now the market's starting to go back into this 2014 mindset that we are, because we're at 76% good to excellent crop conditions for corn, we are heading back towards a higher corn yield in August. And so that price action is looking a lot more like 2014, where we ended up getting down to 318.5 before the 1st of October.
Anything else that you want to make sure you discuss with us for the day?
I would only say that the wheat market turnaround, if we could build upon that, it would come at a very welcome time, because I think that could change some of the dynamic by some of the negative funds out there. But at these price levels, one big difference that I see between now and back in 2014, at these price levels especially, is we have a lot better demand base. So if we keep the dollar contained, I don't see the need As long as we keep that dollar contained, I don't see the need to have to replicate those kind of prices. And even back in 14, we were able to get back up to almost $4 by the time the Dease corn expired on December 12th. So I don't think it's all doom and gloom right now. We're just, as I said, on a knife's edge.
Hey, thanks so much, and we appreciate you being with us today.
You bet, my friend. Take care.
You too. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. Yesterday, I was out of the office, and we didn't get a chance to talk with Dan Zwicker. Thought it might be kind of important to catch up with him, so he's now on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us on this Friday.
Well, more than welcome, Todd.
Well, it's been a really rough week in the marketplace for the soybeans. Can you take me through the technical side of this market? Of course, we just finished talking about some of it with Mike Zuzulo, but I really would like to get an idea of where you think we are and where we might go.
Well, basically what we're, you know, we're pulling any kind of weather premium that was built into the market with a lot of your weather forecasters calling for drier, hotter, drier weather during the month of July and August, and that just failed to materialize. Instead, we've got some very beneficial rain. So the crop now is, the market is adjusting to larger bushels. Crop rating levels have been very strong. So that's kind of what we're doing. We're just basically pulling the plug on any kind of short crop problems. In fact, we're starting to probably price in big crop type potentials. Now, when you look at the monthly soybean chart, which is probably the one that everybody worries about probably the most, when you look at it, well, let's take a look at the weekly chart. Weekly chart, we came down this week, our low, around 985 that was done here earlier this morning. We did close off that low. Was basically a 62% retracement of the advance that we had out of our early March low at 949. Then we had a high here right up here first week of June here at 1208.5. And today we came down to this 62% retracement level with a push down to 985. And then we've kind of bounced off of it. So from a technical point of view, this 62% retracement level is a support point, at least initially. And my guess that will probably hold for a while. We'll have to kind of see. As a rule, the last week of each month kind of goes opposite of the first 3 weeks. And since July has been a dominantly down month, due to the stocks and acreage report and the generally favorable weather, I would expect that next week we would see some form of short covering activity going into a month's end. And that should create at least some form of stability around this 62% retracement level on the soybeans. And then it's going to probably be wait around for what USDA is going to issue on us I think it's August 12th. I'm not for sure, but it'll be that August crop report. Whether or not what kind of yield USDA puts on it, I'm expecting that USDA will probably raise yield expectations on both corn and soybeans based upon the crop rating levels. They've held awfully strong. And I just don't see them doing anything but holding strong, at least in the meantime, with the type of weather pattern. I know we do have a couple days here of some 90-degree heat, but then we're going to go back to mid-80s, and I even think that we could see some 70, upper 70s as high. So we're going to go back into a much milder weather pattern. So crop rating levels probably ought to hold steady all the way into the August crop report.
Indeed, it is on the 12th day of August. That is a Friday, so it will be live when we do our Commodity Week program with it. I'm wondering when we turn that to the other side of the marketplace, corn, what you see in that particular set of charts.
Well, the corn market totally ripped up my thoughts for a late summer, maybe early fall rally. I wouldn't necessarily totally rule one out, but the fact that the corn market basically broke down underneath this sideways trading range that we had been in, and now we're within a few pennies here of that 318 low that was posted back in 2014. We've had a low here today of about 26, so we're within 8 cents of that 318 low. I suppose that's going to be the downside target for corn. If that is penetrated, then the next low that everybody will be looking at will probably be that 2009 low around 296. I think the corn market, I'm still up here in northwestern Illinois, 10 miles south of Moline, Illinois, and this may be the sweet spot in the Corn Belt. I'm not too sure, but I know there's some 300 bushel corn right out my door. It's just amazing what kind of crop it looks like up here. And like I said, I haven't seen the rest of the Corn Belt, but if USDA starts using 170 bushel yield, 171 bushel yield, we're going to really grow in these stocks levels to the point where the function of the market will be to seek out new demand and take production or take corn out of lower production prospects with lower prices. And of course, that's a long process. And that may, you know, take all the way to next winter. But if this crop is as big as what it looks like it could be, my guess is that the 318 low and the 296 low are going to be challenged here going into the August crop report or shortly after the August crop report.
Okay, so let's deal with them separately. For soybeans, producers, I suppose, still have an opportunity, maybe, to market soybeans at a price that would be in above their crop insurance premium price, of course.
Yeah, we're still at the $10 level. It's not as good as the $12 level that we had. I'm not too sure November got all the way to 12, but looking at November, I guess we got to the 11.88. And now today we had a low of 966, and we're at 988 on the close. If the soybean market can kind of stabilize here on the lead futures basis or the 62% retracement level, there's probably a shot that we can maybe go back into this 10.25, 10.50 area on short covering, depending upon whether or not we would see some new buying. I would think some of these price levels on both corn and soybeans would be very attractive to end users at this point in the growing season, because we still have 30 to 45 days to change the prospects of the crop. But my guess is the way the market has fallen, a lot of the big crop prospects have kind of probably been priced in. We still have to go through some acreage changes possibility. And the soybean crop is yet to be made or as far as along with the corn market. I mean, I do think the corn crop, you know, the only argument we have now is probably is it's 165 bushels or it's 175 bushels, whereas the bean crop is still subject to a bigger range, probably depending on what kind of August weather we have, Todd.
Thanks so much, Dan, for taking the time with us. We'll talk with you again on Thursday of next week.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas. We're now joined by Eric Snodgrass from Agrible to take a look at the weather forecast. Man, Eric, it's hot. Can you tell me about the humidity and the heat?
Well, Todd, this heat wave has been really oppressive. Thankfully, it will be short in duration. What has made it so oppressive has been the really high dew point temperatures. The dew point temperature is a measure of water vapor content in the atmosphere, and the higher the value, the more moisture there is in the air. Well, right now, dew point temperatures across the Corn Belt and the central United States are climbing toward the lower 80s. This is near record levels for this part of the U.S. Now, with high dew point temperatures come high humidity, and this is pushing our heat index into the 105 to 115 degree range. Now, contributing to this high humidity is the current corn and bean crop. All of the recent rains and storms that the Corn Belt has received, well, that rain is in the soil and in the plants now. When the sun beats down and evaporates this moisture from the soil and the leaves of the plants, well, we get what's called evapotranspiration. And on a hot day like this, an acre of mature corn can evaporate more than 2,000 gallons of water into the atmosphere. So in addition to all the moisture from the Gulf of Mexico, this corn is pumping water into the atmosphere too. The result is this oppressively hot and humid weather we've been experiencing. Now, speaking of oppressive heat, our heat wave pales in comparison to what happened in Kuwait today. Temperatures there reached 129 degrees Fahrenheit. That's the actual temperature, not the heat index. I've seen pictures of melting car interiors and even sagging plastic on stoplights. This temperature does set the all-time record for the highest temperature in the Eastern Hemisphere, and is just 5 degrees lower than the world record. Okay, so back to the United States. What are the stresses this heat is having on our crops? Well, in large part, this heat is a little too late to do major damage on the corn crop. For those that planted in late April and early May, the corn crop was already to tassel. Had this hit 2 or maybe 3 weeks ago, we would have seen a completely different situation. The stress would be greater, too, if it weren't for these regular storms. I mean, we got another round of rain yesterday from Minnesota to Wisconsin and then in Michigan. And then a couple days ago, we had more rain in Iowa. And then last night, we had late-night storms that rolled through central Illinois. In short, this rain is really preventing a lot of damage to the crop. The forecast of this rain is partly to blame for the continual drop in the price of corn, too. The only two things that I'm concerned about are the very high overnight low temperatures and the extreme heat in the western part of the Corn Belt. Well, let's look a little bit forward now. The heat breaks on Monday, and the pattern transitions into a more zonal flow in the mid and upper levels. This basically means that there's going to be no big troughs or big ridges in the forecast for the next week or so. And that means that our temperatures are going to try to move back toward more average numbers. For us, that means highs in the upper 80s. Now, looking into the start of August, another ridge builds in the jet stream, but this time it's centered over the spine of the Rocky Mountains. Ridges that are that far west keep the heat out west and in the south. As a result, we'll be under a northwest flow regime from the jet stream, which keeps us in regular rain and more seasonable temperatures. Again, this will bode really well for the current crop, as our attention now turns to the health of the bean crop. And I'll just say this, the bean crop that I've been seeing around looks fantastic.
Indeed it does. Hey, thanks so much. That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He's from Agrible and joins us here on the Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Stay with us if you can. Commodity Week is up next. If not, online at willag.org.